Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. There are so many articles and videos and podcast episodes that have a focus on boosting your productivity, and they offer a lot of really great tactics. They offer a lot of great insights, but a lot of those articles are just focused on how anyone can boost their productivity. Something that's really missing is the personal touch. And to expand on this, your personal productivity style. So that's what we're going to talk about in this episode, how you could come up with your very own. Today's guest is a coach, productivity consultant, professional organizer, and spiritual butt kicker all rolled into one. She's a dynamic teacher, coach, and productivity consultant known for igniting personal transformation and providing easy to implement yet power-packed actionable strategies and tools. She is the creator of the Productivity Style Assessment and the Work Smarter, Not Harder Productivity Program. Her first book, Work Simply, Harnessing the Power of Your Personal Productivity Style, was released in January 2015 by Penguin. Today's guest for episode 242 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Carson Tate. Carson, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, so great to be here, and it's my pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Carson, I'm really looking forward to this interview because, I mean, I've had a lot of, I've read a lot of books about productivity. I've written a lot of content about productivity, but there's never really seems to be something that is just so focused on your personal productivity style, which is why I'm really looking forward to this episode. But I'd like to get a little backstory first before we jump in. So can you talk about what first attracted you to studying productivity and eventually creating the personal productivity style?
Yeah, so I would have to start when I was younger. My mom has told me that I would play with my dolls. And part of the playing was I would organize their clothes and their shoes by color and function. So there is obviously something in me, maybe it's OCD, that really has always gravitated towards and really loves organization and structure. And so fast forward, mid-career for me, I was in outside sales and very successful. And one of the reasons I believe I was successful was because I was able to be organized and had systems. And my team started asking me questions. Well, how are you doing this? How are you doing that? And I'd never thought about that, Mark. I'd never thought about productivity as a skill or that other folks weren't just inherently doing it. So I started sharing some strategies and then left and went out on my own and started coaching clients around productivity and quickly realized that the tried and true best practices in the productivity space didn't always work. And when they didn't work, my clients would default to feeling like they were a failure, something was wrong with them, they weren't good enough. Well, the fact of the matter, it wasn't them. It was how they were trying to overcome their busyness that was the problem. And so that's what sparked the idea for me to do research and then ultimately develop an assessment. So I did all the research in graduate school and developed what we now call the productivity style assessment, because we all think and process information differently. And so why would we all use the same tools and strategies? We wouldn't. They don't fundamentally work for everyone. So with the assessment, what you're able to do is identify your style, which is innate. It's hardwired into you. It's cognitive. And then select tools that are going to fundamentally work for you. So you are faster, it's easier, and you don't ever feel like a failure. You know that you've got the right tools.
And I really like this focus. And again, this is why we're talking about this on this episode, that idea that not all the tools, not all the tactics work for everyone. I mean, Evernote is a really great tool for a lot of people for boosting productivity. I don't use Evernote, so that's something that doesn't work as well for me as it would work for someone else. And we could go all across the board with different tools, different tactics. But regardless of what combination works, we have to figure out what that combination is. So how can we tap into our very own personal productivity style?
Yes. So obviously, you've mentioned it. We have an assessment on our website. It's free, carsontate.com. You can take it. But you don't have to take an assessment, because I think that we all know ourselves really well. And so I'm going to describe, Mark, the four different types. And I think in these descriptions, folks will probably start to hear some things that resonate. And they'll probably be able to start to think about, well, that's probably more my style. So I've identified four productivity styles: prioritizer, planner, arranger, and visualizer. The prioritizer and planner tend to be generally more, quote, left brain thinkers. So they're analytical, linear, fact-based, detailed, sequential thinkers. The arranger and visualizer are more big picture, more right brain. So they're more creative, big picture, intuitive, kinesthetic, relational, communicative, highly visual. So those are two broad brushstrokes, left and right brain. Now, the prioritizer, their thinking is characterized as being very analytical, very linear, very data-oriented. These are the folks on your team, or it might be you, who sends an email that's one sentence or less. And if they can get away with just a couple of letters, they will. It's all about being succinct, brief, to the point. They're very goal-oriented, very outcome-focused. If you go into their workspace and want to chat about the weekend and what you're watching on TV or what concert you attended, they're going to roll their eyes. They're not interested in chit chat. They want you to make the point and get out. They are early adopters of technology, and they tend to get a lot of work done, but it is very linear and very, very outcome focused. The planner is slightly different in that the planner's thinking is characterized as being more detailed, more organized, more sequential. The planner is that natural project planner. They're the ones who have been known to put something on their to-do list that they've already done so they can cross it off. High drive for execution. They love lists. They love project plans. They organize their sock drawer. They want to organize the office's parties. And they're the ones that are really good at finding flaws and overlooked details. So those are your two left brain folks. Now, your arranger is that thinker who's more intuitive, they're more emotional, more communicative, they're much more kinesthetic. They're the ones that have the most expensive pens in your office, and you better not take their pens because they really like their pens. They are the ones that do their best work with and through people, lots of color. They use color to help guide their eye, prioritization. They'll use color. They also are very intuitive around what to work to do next. They know deadlines, but they think in terms of, what should I do next? And it's more of a gut feel. And then lastly, your visualizer. These are the big picture thinkers. They're your synthesizers of disparate ideas. They're the ones who are asking what's next. They are my adrenaline junkies, I like to call them. They're pushing the envelope, wanting to drive innovation. Project plans feel like straitjackets. They don't like structure. It shuts them down. Mind mapping, color, thinking about time and calendars in terms of themes really works well. They get a ton of work done and they get bored really easily. So I think your listeners and your who are really predominantly content creators can probably listen to those descriptions and start to think, that is more my style. Or again, they can always take the assessment online.
And I mean, like the great thing, like you laid out so many different avatars for like different kinds of styles of productivity. And the productivity style assessment, for anyone wondering, that will be in the show notes for this episode, markproperty.com/E242. But regardless of what productivity style you prefer, one of the things that we have to do is manage our attention, because we have to have the level of attention towards our work in order for it to get accomplished. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how we can manage our attention effectively.
Yes, and I couldn't stress that any more than you did, Mark, just around if you can't focus, you're not going to get anything done. And so what was the insight for me when I was doing some research for my book was that there are actually two types of attention. There's involuntary attention, which is automatically triggered by external stimuli. So the ping of a new text, a pop-up of a new email message, someone honking at you, because the involuntary attention is what 2000 plus years ago kept us alive when we were hunters and gatherers. Then the voluntary attention is what we have control over. That's our ability to sit down and focus. All right, I'm going to do some research so that I can put together my blog post for this week. And so when we think about managing attention, what often happens is we end up focusing on one or the other. And in order to be truly effective, we've got to focus on both involuntary attention and our voluntary attention. So to manage involuntary attention, this is automatically triggered by external dings, pings, interruptions. And so we've heard it before, but it is definitely worth repeating because it works. Turning off any dings and pings on all of your technology, minimizing screens that you are not using. So having 15 windows open at one time is setting yourself up for failure. If you need to do focused, concentrated work, a lot of us work in open spaces where there's constant interruption. How do you create that silence for yourself? Either headphones or going to a different part of your building or to the Starbucks on off hours versus the morning or afternoon rush. You've got to think about that involuntary attention. And then the second aspect of our attention, that voluntary attention, the one that we have control over, around strategies to manage that, it's recognizing that we're human beings, not human doings. I mean, we aren't robots. We can't work without interrupting ourselves for hours on end. Most folks can concentrate really for less than 60 minutes. So at that 50 to 55 minute mark, get up, take a break and move and do nothing related to work. That's going to allow you to come back refreshed and able to focus for the next time period. And then the other thing to remember is that if you don't fuel yourself, good luck. So I always like to say, if you're tired, hungry, and pissed off, good luck with managing your attention. We know that sleep deprivation is a pervasive issue. And we also know that after a while, your stimulant of choice stops working. So if you want to focus, you got to get the sleep. Hunger, I mean, our brains are 70% water and you need glucose to fire the neurons. So you've got to have some type of beverage. So snacks and water are really important. And then we forget what happens to us when we've been emotionally engaged. So all of us have tough parts of our day or difficult conversation, and trying to focus after an emotionally charged situation is hard. So what are you using for your emotional reset tools? So music is great. I love humor. So funny videos, funny pictures, and any type of physical movement are all really great ways to reset emotionally and help you focus and manage that voluntary attention.
And I really like the idea of taking breaks, because if you're not taking breaks, you're just asking for burnout. And there's only so much time that we can spend focused and in the zone or in the flow, depending on what you want to call it. But in other cases, some things that could drain our attention are certain people and things getting in the way. Now, I understand, like you have family, the important people in your life, those are people who you need to engage with. There are certain people and things that they just get in the way, and they don't have that same level of camaraderie as like a friend or a family member. So I'm wondering, how can we prevent certain individuals and things from getting in the way of our attention and ability to pursue our goals?
It's a great question. So for me, it comes back to your priorities. So being really clear on what your professional and personal priorities are makes it easier to say yes and no. And so what you're talking about is your ability to say no to ask of time and energy and attention that aren't in alignment with your personal and professional goals. So you've got to get really clear on what those are. So for example, I'll give you a personal example. So I have a young daughter and I learned some very hard lessons and burned out myself very early in this career. And as a result, have made some commitments and have some priorities around how many days a week I'm willing to travel. So for me, unless it is an extenuating circumstance, I will not travel more than 3 days a week. So that's a priority and a commitment. So it enables me to say yes and no to ask of my time. And that clear priority also enables me to ensure that I'm spending the time that I want to with her.
And I really like how you're striking that balance between your work and your family, because if you have, you don't want one thing to completely dominate the other. You want to be able to strike that healthy balance between the two. And one of the things like that, that's part of being able to use your time right. That's part of prioritizing, as Carson mentioned earlier. So I'm wondering, in addition to prioritizing, how can we invest our time wisely so that we're doing what we should be doing and getting the results that we know we could be getting with the time that we have?
Yeah. So the first thing for me around time that I think is so necessary for all of us is to reframe how we think about time and to really understand that it's a commodity. So when we're working with our clients and our client organizations, it's all about time is a commodity. You can go and earn more money later, but you are not getting this 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 3 hours of your life back. So knowing that this is a finite and fixed resource is, I think, the first step, Mark, to starting to make more intentional decisions to invest your time wisely. So this is also informed by choices that I made after my daughter was born and spent the entire year on the road. And I don't have any significant memories of her first year of life. I can't go and get that year back. I can go and earn more revenue and you know, continue to build the company, but I can't get that time back. And so when you start to look at it as a finite resource, you go back to what do you say yes and no to? So after we look at time as a commodity, the next thing I always ask our clients to do is to look at their calendar, which we call your investment statement, how you've chosen to invest your commodity, and look at that investment statement. And if you look at it critically with a fresh eye, where am I in alignment with my goals? Where am I out of alignment? Is there time for rest and recovery? What story is this calendar telling me, this investment statement? And then it's your choice. What do you want to do with it? How do you want to start to make some different decisions? And at that point, it's depending on your productivity style, there are hundreds of different tactics to optimize your time, save time, yeah, streamline. All of those are available to you. But I think it, what we so often do is we jump right to, I need to put a Band-Aid on this. I just need another hour. Well, you don't need another hour if you're not going to invest it wisely. That's a very poor decision. So that's why we really strongly encourage our clients to start with time is a commodity. What is the investment statement saying? Is your time in aligned to your goals and priorities? And then we'll start making changes and we'll give you the tips and tricks and strategies to maximize the hours that are in your day.
And it's like a lot of this comes down to perspective. And as Carson said, when you put the time in perspective that, hey, this is a finite resource, you get a little more careful and a little more intentional about how you use each minute of your day, how you're devoting your time, and who is getting your time when you're not working. So like really viewing time as a finite resource is a really great way to invest it more wisely, so you're accomplishing your goals and living a fulfilled life. So I think those are two like very important things. And one thing that I also want to touch upon is there are some people who they feel like they're not as productive as they can be. And Again, you can get your productivity style assessment that Carson is so graciously offering us. That will be in the show notes. But what do you believe, in addition to not having this personalized plan, what do you believe holds most people back from being very productive?
Lack of clarity. So if you're not really clear on what you want and what constitutes success for you and aren't really tapped into your why or your core purpose, you're going to spin your wheels and waste time. I mean, the most productive people that I know are so clear on their goals, their purpose, how they add value in this world and for this world and how they're making an impact. They're not going to let anything stand in their way. And then I think the other reason that we get caught in the busy trap is because we live in a culture that lauds busyness. I mean, our culture really, if you tell folks, you know, how busy you are and all these meetings and emails, they're in our culture, it equates with, oh, you're needed, valued, and important. And so we also have this cultural messaging that keeps us connected and on and not really recognizing that all of this swirl and connectivity and just hanging out in your inbox is probably not driving and advancing your goals and creating a big impact in the world.
And I mean, those are some really great points about like what's holding people back. And just to like go further along on that, a lot of it is based on like how we approach each given day. It's like the scheduling, like that's something that I like to do a lot. I like to schedule the goals that I give myself into like certain times of the day so that it's easier for me to get them done. And part of the, like, as you mentioned, that whole sense of feeling busy, like being busy doesn't necessarily mean you're being productive. And I feel like part of the busyness can arouse as we experience more challenges within our journey. So with challenges in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah. So the one that keeps coming up tonight, I've alluded to it before, and it was my burnout moment. And so it was December 26th, the day after Christmas, and I was in our den working on Christmas lights, trying to get them to work. I hate that. You know, one light bulb burns out. It's just a pain. And I went to try to stand up and get off the ground, off the floor, and I couldn't stand. I mean, I was completely physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted, and just depleted. Even my soul was tired. And I looked back 10 days before that. We celebrated my daughter's first birthday, and I had to look in the mirror. How did I get here? Well, 6 weeks after she was born, I got on an airplane and spent the entire first year of her life on the road, building the business driven by my ego. I was feeling needed and valued and important. I was busy, was doing things. But here I was on December 26th, no memories of her first, real memories of her first year of life. And I came across this quote, and I now know why I came across it earlier in December, by Socrates, that says, beware the barrenness of a busy life. You know, Mark, I was doing a lot of stuff, but in service of what? And at what cost? And so I had to make some really tough decisions in that moment around working differently and choosing to live differently. And also, you know, how am I keeping my own ego in check? Because my ego feels good sometimes in this swirl. And so what am I doing to fuel myself and making sure that there's enough real rest and recovery so I don't get hooked by it?
And I mean, I know you've been leading up to it, but it's just amazing to hear in detail, just like with business, like you could spend so much time on it and then lose sight of some of the other things. So again, like being able to determine at what cost you're willing to continue to expand, and also knowing what's truly important in your life, because as we also pointed out, time is a finite resource and you have to Think about that as you're thinking about like where to put your time next, what to do with your life and things like that. And one of the areas that I do recommend, I mean, I know time is finite, but if you're going to put it towards a few areas, one of those things I recommend is self-education. And for me, like reading books is my favorite way to learn. So with that in mind, Carson, I'm wondering if you could share with us three book recommendations that you believe would have a positive impact on us.
Yes. Oh gosh, Mark, you're going to make me just narrow it down to three. Okay. Oh, because I love books too. All right. So let's see. Okay. Well, I'm going to start with Mindset by Carol Dweck. I think, poor Carol, I think I just butchered your last name. But it's Mindset. And her whole premise is there are two different types. The official title of her book, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. There's, you're either have a fixed mindset. And so for folks who have a fixed mindset, they believe that all of their abilities are fixed. So what I was born with is what I have and that's it. Or those who have a growth mindset. And what the growth mindset folks believe that what you came in with is great, but you can grow and develop and learn and do more. And so I think it is so important that we stay anchored in a growth mindset. The second book, you know, I'm going to recommend, because I think it really ties with what we've been talking about, Essentialism. You know, it's Greg McKeown's book. The title is Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. And I think he does a really great job of helping folks focus on what's that core. You know, what do you really need to do to drive your business forward? And I think that's really, really helpful. And then the last one, I don't really want to give you another productivity book. a ton of time reading those. I just finished a book that I would recommend, High Performance Habits, written by two athletes. It's, what's the official name of this? There's Brendon Burchard's book on high performance, which is really good. And then there's also another one that I had just read, also called High Performance. So I'm going to say both of the high performance books. One written by a coach at the University of Houston, really focuses on, that book focuses on energy management, rest and recovery, and has some really good, fresh science in it. And then Brendon Burchard's book is also really good, looking at seven habits that leaders use to optimize their performance. A little bit deeper, a little bit more on the quantitative side than the qualitative side in terms of research that the other guys are doing.
Carson, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes, marketbirdie.com/E242. We'll also throw in my book, Content Marketing Secrets, in the show note as well. You can head over to marketbirdie.com/book to get your free copy. All you have to do is pay for the shipping. And before we wrap up this episode, Carson, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
What would I not be doing if I said yes to this commitment, this ask, or this request?
Carson, thank you for sharing with us that question. I really like that because every yes is a no to something else. And I really like that question. Thank you for sharing all of your great insights. If you guys want to learn more about Carson, head over to carsontate.com, CarsonTate.com. And don't forget to grab your productivity style assessment over there, which that will be in the show notes. But it's really good to get an idea of what your personal productivity style is so you can better optimize your productivity. So get your productivity style assessment today. Carson, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us and being a guest on the Breakthrough Success Podcast.
Mark, thanks so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. And thanks to all your listeners for their time. Really appreciate that as well.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn